When we hear a gospel like the one today, with the parable of the goats and sheep, a lot of questions emerge in our minds. Why goats and sheep? What's the difference between goat and sheep? Am I goat? Am I sheep? How do I fit into this gospel? Even more, as we head deeper into it, it becomes even more complex. Did I meet God's needs? Am I doing what I ought to? Is God happy or angry with me? Am I the one going to eternal life or eternal punishment? Lots of questions emerge. And yet the challenge when these questions emerge is that they add to our anxiety. Am I doing enough? Have I done enough for God? Am I really on the right path? All these questions emerge. In the midst of it, we get even more anxious hearing a gospel like this. Well, I want to soothe your anxieties a little bit and focus on a different message. What I want to do today is to help you understand what it's like to have Jesus as our King, to really choose Him as our sovereign leader, our ruler, the one who governs us. Because often we just kind of wander through life and make things work. But if we recognize His power in our lives, we can realize the peace and joy He brings. Obviously, today is the Feast of Christ the King, and as the solemnity of Jesus, King of the Universe, we're going to focus on Him as leader. The challenge we have is seeing Jesus as leader is, what do we do with that? How do we make this a practical thing in our life so it doesn't take up more space and time? Frankly, we're all very busy. We don't really have more space to fill things. So what I want to do is help you integrate this idea into what you're already doing and recognize that Jesus can take control at any moment and guide us through life. So the first thing I want to focus on is what it's like to have Jesus as our leader, what it's like to have Him as King. It's kind of an uncomfortable concept for us. And yet, where I want to turn is the book of Revelation. I was reading through chunks of it a little while ago, and a few things caught my attention. So as we go through the saga of Revelation and all of its major events, there's a hymn that flows through the entirety of the book. And this hymn goes through various iterations. The first one is the excitement of, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that brought us life." Then, "Worthy is the Lamb that opened the scroll so that the new era could begin." And then, "So grateful we are to have this Lamb that whose blood washed us clean." The last two parts of the song focus on Jesus as King. It says, "Grace to you." Got the first part of it wrong. "Good and gracious are you, O Lord, for you have begun your reign." And it continues on, "Worthy are you, O Lord, for your kingdom has come." These are the two parts of that song that really focus on Jesus as King. Now notice what they're doing. They're praising God as our King. They have chosen to make God King, and in doing so, they realize His rule brought life to them. His rule brought them joy. His rule means something. So those in heaven, those who are sharing in this glory, already have chosen Him as their King, have desired Him as their King. Here's our challenge. As Americans, we think of democracy, and we like to vote in our leaders. We like to make a point with our voice to say, we want a certain way. We want a certain way of being in the United States. We want a certain law. Guess what? That doesn't work for God. You can't vote Him in. You can't choose the policies that He promotes. He is who He is, and that's the way it's going to be. Now, here's the really weird part. If we recognize who God is as King, He doesn't force His rule upon us. He's not a tyrant. He doesn't come and say, well, now you're going to follow me. Too bad for you. He invites. He encourages. He wants us to choose Him. And once we choose Him as ruler, He's not the tyrannical ruler of the dictators of old. He's not the king sitting on His throne demanding attention. He's the Good Shepherd, from their first reading from Ezekiel. Whereas a king marches first into battle, leading the troops behind him, the shepherd follows the sheep from behind and coaxes them along. This is the image of our great King. He walks behind us, giving us autonomy to live our lives. We choose how we move around in the field and what we eat. If we listen to Him, He coaxes us. He smacks us with His stick and we go the right direction, or He leads us His directions so there's better food over there, keeps us from eating the weird things. He guides us through life that we may choose what's good. And if we listen and comply, we get all the good things. If we do our own ornery thing, we get the weeds and brambles and things don't go so well. So this is the reversal we have in our mind. When Jesus is our King, when we choose Him as our King, good things happen. And we have a fundamental belief that by living out His kingship, by letting Him be King of our lives, good things happen. He's a good King. But we have to start there. We have to believe He's good for us to want Him as our King. The second part of God's kingship is that when we accept him as our king, we also have to be open to change and interruptions, the last thing any of us want. It doesn't matter who you are or what generation you're in, we all don't like change. We don't like to have to adjust and move. But here's the challenge. If we're not open to some level of change and interruption, especially by God, our lives don't need God. They just follow through a pattern. It's like we're programmed by a computer programmer and we just do what we're told and make it to the end. But there's no joy in that. There's no fun in that. When we allow interruptions, when we allow changes that lead to better things, we allow God into our lives. We invite him in those weird moments where it's not us, so that we know for certainty that God exists. That's the value of change and interruptions. He likes to come into our lives and say, not quite that right now. Let's try this instead. Or let's put this in place and see what happens. Just so that it's not all about us. And so that change is a wonderful thing because it reminds us that there's something better. We're always striving for the good. There's something there that tells us that God truly exists. And we don't have to wonder or worry. It's just there. So don't be afraid of change and interruptions by God. He likes them so that we pay attention to him. The third one's kind of strange, and it comes from our second reading from St. Paul. It's the reality that Jesus suffered, died, rose from the dead, that we may share his victory. We need to live that. What does that even look like? Well, let's start out from the basics. Jesus suffered and died so that death and sin is gone. It doesn't have power over us anymore. We are freed. And as freed, we share in his victory. He's the one that fought it. He did the war. We just kind of sit in the background and watch it. But by him fighting the war, it's already won. How often do we live as though we are victors of the war? As though we are no longer bound by these challenges in life, but can live in the freedom of his life and resurrection? I think often we fall in the opposite direction. We're like, oh, not that again. Oh, there's so many challenges. Oh, the world's so dark. Oh, I have all these problems. Instead of saying, Jesus came for me. He gave me new life. He found a way through my challenges. He's already victorious over all these problems. I can be joyful and happy because he has fought the battle. Not I fought the battle. Not I figured it out. He figured it out, and I share in his victory. This is the great cause of the joy of Revelation, of all of Scripture, of all the saints, that they realize in a very prominent way, we are already part of the victory. Jesus already won our battles. We already are freed from sin and death in the eventual end goal, and now we can live that each and every day. Imagine for me what it'd be like to live that way. To live when we struggle with something, we fall into some sort of temptation or struggle, we get up and say, no. Jesus fought this battle. I am free. Or what if, in the struggles of our life, we're fixing a problem and it's not working and it's becoming frustrating, we stop and say, Jesus found the solution. I'm going to listen to him. Our lives would be radically different. We would live in a totally different sense of joy, a sense of God's presence in our lives. And so I challenge you, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to take Jesus as your king, to be able to listen to him and invite him into your life. To allow yourself to share in his victory, to allow him to be your sovereign, leading and guiding you through life. He is the good king. He knows what's best for all of us. And by listening to him, by complying with him, we share in the goodness, we share in the joy.